Well, let's talk about the candle of the Lord from Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 27. We'll read that and then get right into the word of the Lord. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Thank you, and you may be seated. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Let's say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I feel a Holy Ghost spirit moving here tonight. You know, I used to get scared when I started preaching, and I felt a little reaction from the audience, a little skepticism, all this bragging you've heard about, and when you're really nothing, and you know you're nothing, and you don't know where the preacher's coming or not. But I don't get worried anymore. The preacher will be here in a little bit. He's not here right now. He'll be here in a little bit. I'm not worried about it at all. He's never failed me yet. He'll come along. Praise God. Woo! Hallelujah! Oh, I feel that spirit rolling in my heart tonight. Thank God. Well, there's a beautiful relationship between the life of God and the life of man, and Solomon sets forth this relationship and this truth in the text before us tonight. The scriptural account is absolutely accurate, and the picture is very simple. An unlighted candle is standing in a darkened room, and someone comes in to light that candle. The vague and uncertain flame touches the candle, and then all of a sudden there's a steady glowing flame. Now, here are some things I want you to understand about the candle. The candle gives the fire a manifestation point. This is very, very essential for us to understand that God is a spirit, and He manifests Himself through the spirits of men. Praise God. God can actually use your spirit to set this darkened world on fire. And it is better to light a candle than to curse the darkness. That's why Jesus said, "Ye are the light of the world. Ye are a city set upon a hill and cannot be hid. And the greatest curse of this generation are those spirit-filled men who would dare take their candle and put it under a bushel." The Bible says you shouldn't do that. Because we have an obligation to light this world with the experience God has given us. Now, let's look at some other things about the candle in the beginning here. The fire is manifest by the candle. And oh, how true this is in the words of this text. The Bible illustration teaches us that the inferior substance of the candle, which is the wax, yields to the superior substance, which is the fire. Which means that God can only set us on fire as we acknowledge His superiority and our inferiority. I don't mean to knock the wind out of your sails tonight, but if there was ever need, brethren, of an old-fashioned Holy Ghost humiliation, that need is in the year of our Lord, 1982. We need to have the pride knocked out of us from one end of the movements of God to the other and get down between the porch of the altar and pray and seek God and cry like we've never prayed and sought God before in our lives. We are nothing and He is everything. We are just the candle, but He is the fire. We have no light unless He gives us light. We have no power unless He gives us power. But the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. And when that heavenly fire touches that earthly temple, something, hallelujah, has to happen. Praise God. Oh, I see that wax yielding to the burning of that spirit. And the candle, its own substance is clothed with a glory that is not its own. It has to have power from outside of itself. Don't ever think you can go it alone. On your own, burn your own light, brag on yourself, and build your own flame. Unless the Lord builds a house, they who build it labor in vain. Unless the Spirit touches you, the flesh cannot accomplish the things of the Spirit. Oh, it's not by might nor by power, but it is by my Spirit, saith the Lord. That's the teaching of the Bible. You contrast that candle against the flaming fire upon the granite stones. There is no yielding of the granite stone to the superior substance, and therefore there is no glow, and there is no light, and the fire goes out. When we become cold and staid and indifferent and denominational and dried up and
church, then God cannot burn even through us. We become cold and indifferent and unfeeling only when we're warm and yielded to the power of the superior God. Can we be a candle of the Lord in this darkened world? My Lord, help us, Jesus. This thing's growing. It's kind of like a spiritual tumor. Hallelujah. Getting bigger all the time. God looked down and saw Moses at the backside of the desert and said, I need that man, but I need to get him started off right. Moses heard the bush burning. He heard the crackling of the limbs and the bramble, and oh, the flame was there. You know, the thing that amazes me about this particular flame and candle was that not that the bush was on fire. My goodness, Moses had probably seen at the backside of the desert many bushes burn. But you know, the thing that amazes me about this, and I can't help but hook a little of this to last night because I got a hangover. The thing that amazes me about this is that the bush was burning but was not consumed. Now that's exactly what I was preaching last night. That which is of the flesh is flesh. And if you're flesh, you'll stay flesh, but you can be on fire for God. But however much you talk in tongues, however holy you get, however much power you get, you're still the candle. You're still in the flesh. God uses you. You're the hands of God. You're the feet of God. You're the eyes of God. You're the instruments of God. God wants you. God needs you. God loves you. And we have to have each other. Hallelujah. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. He said, I will turn aside and see this great sight, how that bush is on fire, but is not consumed. And from that point on, he went forth as a great deliverer. And you might remember well the third chapter of Acts that Peter and John went up to the temple at the hour of prayer. And going, they found the man lame, lying at the gate, beautiful. What I'm preaching about tonight, a beautiful building can't do. You can be lame and crippled and sick and dying and going to hell and be by the most beautiful cathedral in the world. I'm sick and tired of people saying that's the truth because they got a big building. Doesn't have anything to do with it. Most beautiful temples in the world aren't even Christian temples. Oh, I'd rather be in a fence corner somewhere. Hear the lowing of the cattle and the bleeding of the sheep. I'd rather be out there just in an open space and feel what I feel here right now as in the most beautiful place in the world. And I'm going to tell you, the building doesn't bring the blessing. Thank God for beautiful buildings like this, but this is not what brings the blessing. There's something here greater than the carpet. There's something here brighter than these lights. Hallelujah! The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. And you can come in here and bring that spirit with you when you come. And there's something that's joy unspeakable and it's full of glory. And the man said, alms, alms, alms. I got to have help. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none. We don't have Leo Anderson around to raise the offering. We're broke, flat broke. But he said, thank God, such as I have, give I unto thee. And Peter reached in his pocket and pulled out that name of Jesus. Well, hallelujah! He pulled out that name of Jesus. And he said, such as I have, give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the Bible said, the man stood, arose, and leaped. And you know what he did? He'd been sitting out there all that time watching those people going in, looking like Pentecostals going to church. And seeing them after they were in there, come out. Hallelujah, what a thought. Jesus, full salvation, wrought victory. He thought, oh, they won't let me go in there. It was against the law for him to go in there. He was lame. But when God healed him, you know, the first place he went, right straight in that temple. I'm going in there and see what's going on. I want to get my part of that. Hallelujah. Some of you have been laying out there by the gate too long. It's time that you found the power of the name of Jesus Christ. And come on in. Come on in. Come on in. Come on in. There's a work for you to do. There's a place for you in the kingdom of God. God wants your spirit. You know, there's a man in the Bible called Abel. It was said of Adam and Eve that they were going to raise Cain until they got Abel. Well, that wasn't meant to be a joke, I just said. But the Bible tells us that these two boys offered sacrifices to God. Cain brought
of the earthly things. Anybody knows that an orange is prettier than a slaughtered animal. Don't blame Cain too much. Both of them were religious men. Both of them offered sacrifices unto God. But I'm going to give you a little thought here that you can gnaw on and get something out of it in the future days ahead. Let me just point out something here. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And if you'll excuse this homespun, down-home country expression, Abel brought the sacrifice. His was a bloodletting, a gut feeling, if you will. You say, how are you preaching that, brother? He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, and I used to say it real nice, out of his innermost being, but the Bible says out of his belly, shall flow rivers! Not stagnant pools of polywogs and tadpoles, but rivers of living water. And this spake he of the Spirit, that they which believed upon him should receive. Now the Holy Ghost was not yet given. I say this doesn't come from the outside in. It comes from the inside out. Once you are filled with the Holy Ghost, it's got to come out of your heart. Hallelujah. God sets that wick on fire. God ignites that flame. God wants your spirit. The flesh he can get if he can get your spirit. God wants to set your spirit on fire. I want you to get my message tonight. When you walk out of here, say the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Thank God I'm not saying something God has. Well, although he hasn't, I'm talking about something you have that God is after tonight. He's like the hound of heaven on your trail. He wants your spirit. He wants your soul. He wants your attitude. He wants your ability. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. And the Bible said that though he is dead, yet he still speaketh. Why? Because when God gives you something that I'm talking about tonight, it's too much to put in your casket. It's a sad day when a man dies and everything he has is confined to a coffin. You know, old McCormick still roams the wheat fields through every reaper that crawls across the field. Gutenberg still roams where the printing presses are. Thank you, Jesus. Fulton still lives in every steamboat that's plying the waters. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Get it now. Morris still lives in every code and every telegraph. Edison in every incandescent light. He's still lighting up the towns and the countries. The Wright brothers in every flight that lifts off the runway. The Wright brothers still live. I'm telling you, you can leave a legacy to this world. You can leave something in Hammond, Louisiana. You can leave something in Mississippi. And if you die before Jesus calls you away in that great homegoing of the church, you can leave something that no preacher can put in your casket. Hallelujah! It'll be there. It'll not have to be in your will. Your spirit will be the candle of the Lord. Now you ready for a mind-boggling revelation that belongs to me? Now remember, the Apostle Paul said, this speak not Christ, but I. If he did it, I have the right to do it. I can tell you my imagination sometimes. I believe that when a person dies in Jesus Christ, the spirit goes back to God who gave that spirit. I don't have to believe that. That's what the Bible says. And we talk about people who die, and their spirit's going way up there somewhere. And then we turn right around and say, God, receive that spirit of that loved one. Then we turn right around and say, isn't the Lord present? Well, come on now. It's not my problem, it's yours. Don't look at me like that. Amen. I believe that God is omnipresent. And I believe the spirits of our loved ones are with God. And I don't believe anyone that's ever walked with God and left us is very far away from us. Hallelujah! The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. The Bible even says we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Hey, do you know the scripture say there's rejoicing in the presence of God over one sinner that repents? You know what people have preached that for 40 years to mean? That means that when somebody repents, that Jesus rejoices, that the angels rejoice. That's not what that says. It says there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God. It's the spirits of our loved ones rejoicing when son and daughter walk down the aisle and give their hearts to God and give Jesus Christ their spirit. Jesus Christ is looking for your spirit tonight, and when your garment has faded and been moth-eaten and your photograph has faded and your grave has sunk to the level of the ground, there's something about you that cannot be put in that coffin. I'm going to prove it. There was a battle raging, and a soldier got killed. They said, "We can't stop here and fool around, have a funeral. Just put him in that open grave there. It's a big, deep hole. Let him down easy now. He was a good old boy." They dropped him down in there. Hallelujah. But they had a problem. Sometime before, a man called Elisha, a prophet of God. I like what was said this morning. I believe in prophets. I believe in apostles. I believe in all five of the ministries outlined in Ephesians 4:11. I think any church that doesn't accept them ought to be executed. Hallelujah! You tell me there's not an apostolic ministry today? You tell me there's not a prophetic ministry today? If there's an apostolic ministry and a prophetic ministry, there are apostles and prophets. You know why we don't know who they are? Because we don't elect them. When we don't vote on them, we don't recognize them. God help us, Lord Jesus. We only recognize what we vote on. That's how backslidden carnal the church has become. God, set us free, Lord, and give us a revival. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers for the perfecting of the saints and the work of their ministry. Well, I want you to get this now. Here, this prophet had died, and they left this dead soldier down in the same grave. Hallelujah. And all of a sudden, that dead soldier said, "Hey, get me out of here!" What? What's happened to you? My dead body touched the bones of a prophet of God. What are you preaching, Brother Hicks? I'm saying some folks have more power in their dead bones than other folks have in their living bodies. I'm saying there's something about you that can't be put in the grave. Hallelujah! I'm saying your spirit can live on after you're dead. I'm saying that the bodies of the children of God may go to the grave, but the spirit goes back to God who gives it, and God can use those spirits as ministers in this world.
So, well, I never heard that before. You might hear a lot of things before the coming of the Lord you never heard before.
Oh, but the self-sacrificing thing we got, that we know all of it. Nobody can tell us anything. Let me tell you something about Herod. When he heard about Jesus and his miracle ministry, you know what he said? He said, "John, whom I have beheaded, has risen from the dead." You know what that was? John was a candle of the Lord, a forerunner of Jesus Christ. Well, let me prove to you, first of all, what the value of the presence of the body of Christ is in this world today. I know people look down on us. I'm not stupid or naive. I'm aware of that. But I'm also aware that this old world would be burned up 1,000 times over if it weren't for the body of Christ on it. I believe you are the floodgate that holds back the damnation of this age. And Almighty God is sparing this generation because of praying mamas and fathers all over the state of Louisiana, Mississippi, and Texas. I believe that with all of my heart. I'm going to prove it in the 27th chapter of Acts. There was a man by the name of Paul. And they put him on a grain ship. I mean, he didn't ride the Queen Elizabeth II. This was on a grain ship. And they had 276 passengers with him. And he said, "Well, I don't think we ought to make this trip." But they believed the harbor master. They believed the big shots more than they believed the man of God. And he said, "We're going to have much storm to go through. We're going to have lots of trials." But they set sail anyway because a gentle south wind was blowing. And out there in the midst of that great storm that came up on the sea right off the island of Malta, the Bible said that all of those men got down in that ship and they gave up all hope of being saved alive. Now listen to this. Sitting down there, "Ooh, I wish I'd have kissed my wife one more time. Oh, I'd have just loved to hug my son one more time. I wish I could have just hugged my daughter one more time. Oh, we'll never get out. We'll never get out. We'll never get out. We're doomed. We're doomed. We're doomed." Oh, you know, that's what's wrong with the world today. Somebody asked me not long ago, said, "Brother Hicks, if you give any advice to a young preacher going into a church to have revival, what would the first thing be?" I said, "Go in there with faith and optimism. Hey, I can come into Brother Ellis' congregation here and try to discern and say, hey, somebody lied. somebody stole, somebody's a crook, somebody's this. After a while, we'll be witch hunting all over the place and demoralize the entire congregation. You go in there with a positive note of faith and say, there's nothing wrong here that God can't fix. Hallelujah. I was driving down through Texas and turned on XERF one time. There's a black man preaching there, and brother, can they ever preach? That Bishop Wheat over in Atlanta said the white man can't preach. Said he came over from Europe, his heart got hard and his hair got straight and he lost the fire. Well, he ought to be around here tonight. We got some white folks that can preach too. But this fellow was preaching long, and every once in a while he stopped and said, "Jump, little children, the Lord God Almighty done knows you by name." Woo! I stopped and I said, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank God, 2 billion people in the world, and the Lord God Almighty done knows me by name." He'd preach a little while longer, and he'd stop and say, "Praise God." I said, "Cheer up, little children. The Lord God Almighty done knows you by name." I tell you, I had to stop the car and shout, "God knows you by name. The hair of your head is numbered. Hallelujah. He marks the fall of the sparrow. The righteous man's footsteps are ordered of the Lord." Am I preaching in the book? He knows where you are. He's after your spirit. I tell you, God wants your spirit. He wants to set you on fire. He could set the angels on fire, but he's not going to do it. He wants your spirit. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Ooh, hallelujah. So, all of a sudden, the hatch of the ship opened, and there was a man with rain running off his beard, been hanging on to the rigging, walking down that rain-drenched deck, and he looked down there and saw that morbid bunch of Wednesday night churchgoers. If you don't believe I'm preaching you the truth, you ask any song leader that comes out on Wednesday night and starts the church cold turkey. Brother, it's awful. How it can leak out from Sunday night to Wednesday night is beyond me. But it goes. People cuss you, blow smoke in your face, cheat you all week long, and time you get back to church on Sunday night, you're flat. And somebody's got to pump you up, work you up. That shouldn't be. You ought to say amen without being told to. You ought to worship without being commanded. Hallelujah. And so he looked down and saw that crowd. What a bunch. And he said, "Gentlemen, be of good cheer. Because there stood by me this night an angel of the Lord, whose I am. And he told me that because I'm on this boat, every one of you fellas," I started to say every cotton picking one of you, but that wouldn't go too well with me. "Every one of you fellas," I wouldn't say that for anything. "Every one of you fellas are going to be saved because I'm on board this boat." Hey, now get the picture. The thing shipwrecked. They all got on board. They all on board. Some of them swam. Some of them got on shore. But they got up there and gathered around. And Paul went out and said, "I better help them build a fire." Stuck his hand out there to pick up a board, and a snake bit him. Those old barbarians who backed off. He's a murderer. Though he escaped the vengeance of the sea, vengeance, suffering not to live. Watch him fall over dead. He said, "In Jesus' name," flung it off, kept on by his word. Hey, he's a god. Now, isn't that humanity for you? You're either a devil or you're a god. Now, he wasn't either one. He was just a candle of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And he gathered around the fire, and some old Roman centurion gathered up the record, rain-soaked and drenched in the seawater. And he says, "Malchus, here. Luke, the physician, present. Saul, prisoner on the way to Rome." "Why, you crazy outfit. You know I'm here. If I wasn't here, you wouldn't be here. You're here because I'm here. I'm the candle of the Lord. Am I telling you the truth? Is it not true that Almighty God said 2.5 million people in the cities of the plain would have been spared if Abraham could have found 50 righteous, even 40, even 30, even 10 righteous people would have spared 2 million people? I'm telling you, the presence of the saints of God can change things. God wants your spirit. He wants to set your spirit on fire. The spirit of man is the candle of the world. This whole world can shine for you. You can be an effective influence where you work, on the job, coming to church, praising God, attending Sunday school. Glory to God. We have a problem, and that is seeing the candle that God places in our hell-bound pathway. Maybe it was a Sunday school teacher. I think Sunday school teachers are the unsung heroes of the apostolic church. Maybe it was a Brother Donald Lance as a little boy in a Sunday school class. Now he's overseeing a great work in the Philippine Islands. Many, many people worshiping God, being filled with the Holy Ghost, a product of some Sunday school teacher or somebody putting the nuggets of the Word of God in his heart that caused him to be burdened about somewhere else beside where he lives. Are you listening to me preach that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, that you have something in you that can light the Philippines, you can light the seashores, you can work through God and God through you, and there's nothing impossible to the person who will believe God and will lift up their voice and shout aloud the mighty praises of God and sing His praises and worship Him. I'm telling you again, God uses a Sunday school teacher. That's why, brethren, I've never been for this idea of somebody coming in our church and saying, we had a great revival, 30 received the Holy Ghost, they're my children, I won them to God. Wait a minute. How do you know how many thousands of prayers went up for that person before you ever got there? You watch how you claim a soul for Jesus Christ. I have never been able to say I have won one single soul to Jesus Christ. Because everybody I've ever seen come to God, somebody else has helped me pray. Somebody else has helped me fast. Somebody else has helped me seek God. Some mama was praying while I was sleeping. Some daddy was sleepless while I was getting rest. Hey, don't claim credit. We're not sages. We're not gods. He is the only Savior. So let's give glory and honor to Jesus. That's a special responsibility of a God-called, God-anointed person in an apostolic church. Do you know you are privileged to worship God? The Bible says that that's true, that we must worship God. You can do something the angels can't do tonight because you have the spirit of man, which is the candle of the Lord. I like that song. He is exalted. He is exalted. He is exalted on high. Creation can praise Him. Oh, the rocks can praise Him. The mountains can praise Him. The sea can praise Him. The trees can praise Him. The deer can praise Him. The elk can praise Him. The things of earth can praise Him. But only the saints can adore and worship God. The angels can't do it. The rocks can't do it. Only the children of the Lord and the candle of the Lord that can praise and worship and worship. We know how to worship because He pulled us out of the mire. He pulled us out of hell. He delivered our soul. He put our feet on a solid rock. He established our goal. He put a song in our heart. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Woo, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to God. Oh, remember that preacher you didn't like? God put a candle in your hell-bound pathway. Remember that dear old sister that came back and told you to come to the altar and you got mad? That was a candle of the Lord burning there in that aisle. Thank you, Jesus. Help me preach it, Lord. Remember that dear old mama that used to tell you what to do to be saved? Uh-huh. I heard about a fella. Yeah, he was going to rob a bank up north. He got a buddy who was going to drive the getaway car. And he said, now you stay right here. I'm going in there. This was his first robbery. He was so nervous. And he went in there shaking that pistol. And he said, you better put your brains on the table. I'll blow your money out. I'm telling you, he was upset. And all of a sudden, he heard a voice. And that voice was the voice of his mother. Now, this is his own testimony. And he said he heard his mother say, son, thou shalt not steal. And he said he lost his grip on that pistol, put it back in his pocket, ran out and jumped in the car. And the fellow said, did you get the money? He said, no. He said, what happened? Oh, some old lady interfered. How did she interfere? It was my mama. She's been dead 10 years, but I heard her voice tell me, thou shalt not steal. There in that teller's line, the spirit of mama was the candle of the Lord. Oh, brethren, how many of us have just been ready to fall off of the precipice and we heard the voice of those saintly mamas and daddies saying, don't do this, don't do that, and we're stopped in our tracks like the old man who was walking along the trail with a walking stick. And I like to tell this because I like to collect walking sticks. Brother Law and I are in a running war as to who has the most. He claims he's got the most. I've never showed him all of mine. I got them from all countries of the world. It's fantastic. we collect walking sticks. I'm getting ready for retirement. I won't be able to walk on all of them. But we got kind of this thing going about who can get the most walking sticks. Well, it's exciting, but this old fella walking along. And all of a sudden, here came a bunch of young people in a convertible automobile. And they saw the old man. Hey, wait. Do you believe God can still speak directly to people? Do you believe that there are angels that can appear to you and you won't even know it's an angel? Now, don't take issue with me. I'm giving you what the Apostle Paul said. You can entertain an angel and not even be aware of it. That means an angel can appear to you just like a human being. And you'll be held accountable at the judgment for how you treat that person. Boy, that's spine tingling, isn't it, to know that that can happen? That's the book. I'm giving you what the Bible says about it. And so this actually happened. This man was an angelic form. I was spared something not long ago. We had a revival in our church back in the spring, or last fall it was. And there was a note on the door that told me some things about that revival that were going to happen that only I knew. And it said, "This is an angel," and signed it Sparrow. And I told the church that I had found a note on the door and that I had a feeling it was an angelic visitor because of the knowledge therein. And I said, "On a certain day, I'll reveal the contents of the message." And I went to prayer. God spoke to my heart. Sometimes He speaks audibly, but most times to our hearts. I'd like to preach on that sometime, how God speaks to the human heart. But He does, and it's just as clear as a voice. He tells you in your heart. God showed me that was not an angel. That was a phony testing your ability to discern.
Third, you sure enough want to get up and help him. Amen. So there's two kinds of preachers that makes me want to preach. Amen. All right. This is the people that's robbed, and they are spoiled. We can go ahead and get the rest of that on through the 25th, but I believe we'll skip it and go on down. Amen. You can read that when you get home. Amen. But a robbed people. Well, there's a lot of things in Pentecost. Folks used to shout and dance. And, amen. I know one old brother one night got into a Bush Arbor meeting, and he got to dancing and shouting, and he took off running around the tent. And even a big bulldog got after him. Amen. Chased him around the tent. Amen. He sure enough run then. But I'll tell you what, you don't see very much of that anymore. Even where'd we get the name Holy Rollers a few years ago, huh? Amen. Because people were slain under the power of God and rolled into sawdust in the floors of the old Brush Harbor meetings, didn't it? How many of y'all remember folks falling in the sawdust and hauled them home at 2 o'clock in the morning? Amen. Speaking in tongues. I can remember it. Yeah, but we don't do that anymore. Why don't we do that anymore? Why don't we do that? See, that's what I mean. We've been robbed. Someone said, "Well, yeah, but we've got more sophisticated means of winning folks to the Lord. Ain't we doing a job, too?" Yeah. Huh? I'll tell you what, on the day of Pentecost, there was about 120 in the upper room, and they got filled up, and brother, they was acting like a bunch of drunks. Amen. They was dancing and having them a time. Someone said, "How do you know they're dancing? You never seen, amen, 3 or 4 drunks get together, but they didn't have a dance."
Right.
That's right. And you get 120 together drunk, amen, and I'll guarantee you they was dancing. They was having them a time. Amen. Because folks come around and said, "My God, these folks are drunk." Woo, glory! And they was having them a Holy Ghost time, brother. Amen. Acting like a bunch of drunk folks speaking in tongues. Amen. And before they got through that day, they had done baptized 3,000 in Jesus' name. Huh? What was it? It wasn't just that message that Peter preached. Amen. Acts 2:38. That wasn't all of it. Brother, it was something that had stirred them up. Even the Holy Ghost got a hold of them when they heard the wonderful works of God and seen it before their eyes. That's what stirred them up. Amen. Peter merely preached a very simple message that day. And they said, "What shall we do?" He said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." But they got baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost that day.
All right.
Thank God. I'll tell you what, we need some holy rollers around our ranks today. This is what stirred folks up a few years back. Come on, look back and see when Pentecost first started. He went back out under a bush arbor, under a shade tree somewhere. He been 100 folks getting baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. He been today we've got churches with air-conditioned, padded pews. He been carpet on the floor, and I thank God for these things. But we've left something out of our churches today. Come on, I said we've left an experience out of our churches today. Even we're not seeing them 100 folks revivals. Even some old boy used to come along, even with a guitar and half the strings broke or out of tune, and would get up and sing a little bit of Amazing Grace. Amen. And the folks that fall into the altar and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Come on, patched up overalls and their toenails sticking out through the shoes. But brother, they had an experience with God, and when they come out, they worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Didn't they do it? Amen.
Yes.
God help us to get back. Amen. I'm just getting started today. My Lord, it's going to be hard to quit by 3 o'clock. I just barely did get to my text now. Amen. Come on now. Come on now. Amen. Will you stay with me for a little while? Amen. I'll quit just as soon as I get through, I promise you. Go to Lamentations chapter 2. Lamentations chapter 2 and verse 9. Lamentations 2 and 9. Let's go down through 16, if you would. When you get it, read.
Her gates are sunk into the ground.
Oh, he's talking about the church now. Even said they shake their head and they come by. Whew, said,
yeah.
Ain't this Zion? Ain't this that church that even used to shout so much and speak in tongues? And ain't this that church that used to even preach that it was wrong to sin and smoke and cuss and drink and even go to picture shows? And even nowadays they got the picture show sitting in their living room, you know. Even ain't this that church? Even wag their head.
Yeah.
Boy, it just ain't what it used to be. It just ain't what it used to be. Even we used to hear an old song when I was a kid. The old Gray Mary ain't what she used to be. Even I'll tell you what. Neither is the church world what it used to be either. Amen. There's been some drastic changes made around Pentecost. Could you say amen to that?
Amen.
Oh, the first church of Ichabod. Yes, sir. That's it. Amen. Lamentation chapter 2 and verse 9. Read that.
Her gates are sunk into the ground.
Her gates are sunk into the ground. How many of you folks ever lived on a farm, around a farm? Even well, most everybody's been associated with a gate if it was nothing but a yard gate. And did you ever have one get to sagging on the post? And amen, that old post get out of line, the old gate. Amen, you just had to drag and tug and pull to get the gate open. Did you ever do that? He said, this is what's happened to the church. He said, her gates done sunk down into the ground. Can't swing them open like you used to. Come on, you can't get folks in. Even like you used to. Even get it open, half of them run out. Amen. Come on, the gate's not working properly. Come on, read on. The gate's sunk into the ground.
He hath destroyed and broken her bars.
Said she's destroyed and she's broken her bars. The bars are broken.
Yes.
Even someone said they let down the bars and the sheep's got out and the goats are coming in. That's it.
Uh-oh.
Come on, read on.
Her king and her princes are among the Gentiles.
Read on.
The law is no more.
The law is no more. They don't preach what they used to preach.
Right.
Amen. I mentioned a while ago, you know, you used to preach against the picture shows. My Lord, I can remember when I was the Campbellite church. You see, I was raised up the Campbellite Church of Christ, the so-called, you know.
Yeah.
Amen. And they didn't believe nothing. But I'll tell you what, back then they believed more than most Pentecostal churches believe today. I can remember the old pastor, even looking through his eyebrows, and he'd drop his glasses down on his nose and look over them. Amen. And he'd say, boy, you'll go to hell for getting out here on Sunday evening at these ball games. Yes, sir. I'll tell you what, he'd do it. He'd look back at them women folks and he said, sister, amen, the Bible says it's a shame for a woman to be shorn. Amen, trim your hair up, you go to hell. He'd tell it. Amen.
Right.
Come on. But in Pentecost, these things are, you know, outdated. They're past.
Note read from this pulpit, I have been tested by a demon power, and God headed me off at the pass and spared me embarrassment by revealing to me that that was an imposter. Thank you, Jesus. If we ever needed the gift of the discerning of spirits, brethren, we needed in 1982. I think the weakest link in the ministry of the apostolic church is pastoral placement. Running for, trying out for, putting your best foot forward, preaching the best sermons you've memorized, trying to put on some great personality. That's not God's will. If we're close enough to God, we ought to be able to walk in a church and the church say, hey, that's our leader. And the leader say, hey, I feel something in my soul. This is my work. Hallelujah. Automatically, there'll be a contact. I'm telling you, if we're where we ought to be, there won't be 15 people trying out for one church. Always amazed me that 15 preachers get the leading for the same church. Thank you, Jesus. Help us, Lord. Oh, God. So this old man was walking along, and they drove up and slid the wheels. They were drinking beer, having a big time. One of the kids jumped up and said, "Hey, Pop! How far is it to hell?" The old man said, "The spirit of prophecy came upon him." He said, "I began to shake and tremble, and I had no idea what I was saying." And he said, "My feeble voice said, 3 miles. 3 miles to hell." They spun the wheels. The gravel went in the old man's face, bloodied his cheeks. He just walked on over the hill, down the ravine. He saw a glimpse of smoke. The convertible had rolled over several times. He hurried as fast as his feeble old legs would take him. Walking upon the scene, he counted 6 teenagers dead, the smell of whiskey everywhere, the distance from the place where those bodies were lying to the place of the skid marks was exactly 3 miles. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. God put a candle by the side of the road to try to rescue and warn some teenagers that were plunging to hell faster than they realized. I was preaching in San Jose, California one time. This is one of the saddest things, and I don't relate it for emotion. I'm just trying to close the message by telling you how important this is. And a lady was after her son. Said, "Son, I know you're adult, you're married, you have a little 5-year-old child, but," said, "I want you to go out and hear Brother Hicks preach tonight." He had just come in from a college class. He was taking a course in college before he went to work. And the young man became so infuriated, he threw down those books on the floor and looked at his mother and said, "Mom, don't you ever mention church to me again. I was brought up in it, and I want you to know I'm through with church." There, his 5-year-old son heard what he said. And the Spirit of God moved upon that child. And he began to shake and tremble. And he said, "Mommy, we will never see Daddy alive again." He cursed and stomped out across the porch. The call came to the church. It was 10:30. We were praying folk through to the Holy Ghost, baptizing them in Jesus' name. And all of a sudden, the call came to the church. The young man had been intoxicated during the service, had gone out and had his pickup truck stuck in the mud. He had stolen a Caterpillar tractor to pull his truck out. The tractor had turned over on him. The gear shift had run through his head. At 11:30 that night, we were out there trying to help dig that young man out. The candle of the Lord was his own son, age 5. Shall we stand? There's not a preacher in this place, not a one of you here, you're not aware, or you are aware of the fact that there's another hour of preaching here right now. But I feel checked in the Spirit of God to stop right now and say, Almighty God, through this conference, has put a candle in your pathway. All you have to do is turn around. You're going the wrong direction. There's something wrong about your path. It's going to lead to destruction. The Bible said there's a way that seemeth right unto the man, but the ending thereof are the ways of death. Now right now, there's a human spirit affecting your life. Don't discredit it. Don't turn a deaf ear. And don't close your eyes to the glow that can light your soul tonight. Hey, folks, somebody cares about you. That love is bouncing back and forth from hearts here tonight. Brethren, I feel all kinds of spirits, but I do not feel evil spirits. I do not feel hatred. I feel only love. I do not feel jealousy. I do not feel animosity. I feel love. I feel the love of God tonight. Oh, God wants your spirit. Some of you have thought you're no good.
I can be of no use to God. I can't get places to preach. God doesn't want to use me. I've been sidelined. I've been cast upon the scrap heap of humanity. Oh, no. You have a spirit in you. And Jesus Christ wants that spirit. Oh, thank God. He wants to set you on fire from this very conference and send you out wherever you live and what area you work. And you can be a glowing candle. You'll get up with a smile. Oh, you'll have some problems. There'll be powers try to silence your voice and quench that fire and put out that glow. But if you are really anointed of God, it's like the grass coming up around the concrete. There's a power that's drawing you that no power can stop. Jesus said upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Ah, I happen to be one of those strange fellows. I believe that the best songs are yet to be composed. Thank God for Sister Gail singing tonight from her own heart, singing the praises of God about home. Our people can write better songs than anybody in the world. Our preachers can preach better sermons than all the denominational preachers put together. There was never a denominational preacher that could preach under the anointing. Church of Christ preachers are scared to death when God comes. They don't even know how to cope with the power of God. Talking in tongues scares the daylights out of the denomination. People. There's power here tonight. God wants to speak to some of you tonight. He wants to fill and refill some of you tonight. God wants to do it right now. Hallelujah. Sister, play a song on the organ and let's get something going here tonight for Jesus. God is not true. And if God is dead, who is this living in my soul tonight? There's a power you need here tonight. The Spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. I hope you got the import of the message. God doesn't want the angels. God doesn't want to anoint somebody. He wants to anoint you, your spirit, man's spirit. He can take you. You have something God wants. He's walking down this aisle. He's looking for it right now. Praise God. Praise God. Are you ready to say yes, Lord? Are you ready to say yes, Lord? I'm going to ask, please, I don't want to be presumptuous, Pastor, but I'd like for every preacher in this place, every preacher. And when I say preacher, I mean a man that's been baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost. Nobody else has a right to preach. They all take Billy Graham's license. He has no right to preach. Amen. Nobody has a right to preach unless they're filled with the Spirit that this book was written in. You got to first have the Holy Ghost and have Jesus' name baptism before you can preach the gospel. Now, if you're a Jesus' name baptized, Holy Ghost filled preacher, I want you to come there and stand with me tonight. And I want you to realize that your spirit, not some divine spirit from somewhere, but your spirit is what God wants to set on fire. Thank you, Brother Stone. Lead the way here. My old friend from way back in South Texas. God love you. Good to see you. God anoint you. Set you on. Isn't this great? Look at this crowd of preachers coming in. Young preachers, young evangelists. Thank God. Oh, isn't this great? Thank you, Jesus. Oh, let's just worship the Lord. Hallelujah. What an army of soldiers. My Lord and my God. Isn't this beautiful? Everybody out there, clap your hands for Jesus and honor these men of God. Thank God upon these shoulders has the responsibility for rescuing the world. Let's sing He Rescued Me, that chorus, will you? And God is coming now to pick your feet up out of the miry clay, to plant your feet upon the solid rock, to establish your going, to put a song in your heart, and to fill you with joy unspeakable and full of glory. I want the divine power to crown every one of us here today and give us that blessing and anointing and power to go forth from this place and never forget that your spirit, 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 your spirit is the candle of the Lord. Hallelujah! Let's praise the Lord. All over the audience, let's pray for these ministers. Praise Him.
Rescue me. He rescued me from the cold.
Hallelujah!
Our Savior, see, oh, He rescued me. New life I can see. Jesus reached out His love, and He rescued me.
come stand right here, and Brother Hicks, come stand right here, and I want you preachers to come through here, and they're going to lay hands on you. Praise God, and we're going to set the candles on fire tonight.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Shandalalalalala.
God, set the law on fire. My God.
So good.
Among us, and you want to be prayed for, come quickly. I want you to come and walk just like the preachers did, quickly. Bring the babies, bring those that are sick. If you're sick in the building, you want to be prayed for. Hurry. All right. Any sick among us? Bring him up here. This child has got a stuttering problem. And you that don't know me, before I got the Holy Ghost, I stuttered and stammered and couldn't talk. I was laughed down in school a number of times. I could not hold a conversation. I was a stutterer. It's not anything funny. It's nothing to laugh about. They'll tell us to try to make a joke out of it, but it's no joking matter.
Hallelujah.
Houses burn down because people can't call the fire department. Burglars break in and rape because they can't call on the phone. They stutter. God healed me of that. 2 weeks after I got the Holy Ghost, while I was preaching my first sermon, I was healed. My pastor stood up and said, Leo, do you notice anything? And I said, yes, I can talk. That's right. I was healed. And since that night, I've seen hundreds of stutterers healed and their tongues set free. And this can happen to this boy tonight. Huh? All right.
Hallelujah.
Stretch your hand towards this platform tonight. Miracle worker, work a miracle on this child right now.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
I believe in miracles. I believe in God.
Hallelujah.
Heal this baby right now, this stuttering. Miracle, shatabo, rabahasaya. Rico, soko, rabahahi, heal. In the name of Jesus, set his tongue free. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Does anyone else want to be prayed for? Come down here, brother, and let's pray for this lady right quick. You want her to come on up here? God bless this mother in Israel. Stretch your hand this way, folks. In the name of Jesus, we believe in miracles. We believe in God. Touch this. Shurababaha sataya. Nroku shaya. Brother Ellis has just been elected chairman of fellowship. And we're going to ask Brother
to anoint him and pray that this candle of the Lord, that the wick will be turned up tonight. Huh? This man has got great leadership ability, but he can only lead as we follow. Pray for this lady right quick. God bless her heart. In the name of Jesus. Bless her, Lord, and touch her body. In the name, from her head to toe. Touch her, God, a healer. In the name of God, I believe in miracles. I believe in God. Father, lift your hand, preachers, and let's pray. God, in Jesus' name, turn the wick. Oh, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Such an anointing here tonight. Such an anointing. Such an anointing. Glory. 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 Obey the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Obey the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
Mm.
Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.
Spirit of the Lord, have your way.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
He kaya ma si ala ma se. He kini a shatay ala ma si yandai. He katay ala ma satay ala ma yandai a si. He sini a satay he kaya ala ma si. He ni a se kaya ala ma shandai. He me a yandai. He me ala ma shatay he kaya ala ma si. Yeah, he me ala ma si. He sini a shatay ala ma si. He say ala ma satay ala ma si.
Yea, saith the Lord, my son, I have set my spirit upon thee. Fear not to walk before me. Fear not to lead. Yea, I shall magnify thee in the sight of this people. Yea, I shall magnify thee in the sight of thine enemies. Yea, but thou must be true to my word and true to thy calling. For I have set thee on high, and I will anoint thee, and I will give thee wisdom and guidance if thou wilt call upon me in the time of need, saith the Lord. I will be thy God and thy counselor. Yea, I shall give thee strength in the time of trouble, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Give the Lord an ovation here tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Woo! Hallelujah. 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 Oh, glory. Lift your hands and praise Him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank God. Praise God. That interpretation is scriptural. Moses died. Joshua took over. He was very probably despondent. Couldn't get the people to respond to him. Had enemies that was against him. You know what the Bible said God did for Joshua? It said God magnified him in the sight of the people. Oh. He didn't have to worry about it. God did. My God, hallelujah. Glory. Amen. Let me tell you, preacher, if you leave this building tonight without your gift being stirred up, it's your own fault. Praise God. This service was for preachers tonight. Glory to God. You say, I don't need that. Well, I did. I'll take all that you don't want. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. My, my, my. Well, I feel like the man in the window about to fall out, but let's turn it to the preacher.
Let's shake your hand. Praise the Lord. I hope tonight that, and I promise you that I'll display a spirit of humility, be humble before God. I'm not looking for a great name, but I am looking for the work of God to be accomplished. And I say this, a great leader can be only as good as the great men that stand behind him. And I feel like that we've got the best. If you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, you're the best. We got the best behind us. And I promise you that I'll do my best as a chairman to do a work for God. I feel a spirit of love. I want to say that I count it a great honor to have Brother Marvin Hicks preach for us. You know, sometimes ministers need to be shaken. And I don't know about you, you can take it for what it's worth, but this message this man preached was for me tonight. For me. And I hope you feel the same way. Now I looked at my life and began to examine it. It's all I ever desired to be is a worker for God, to accomplish something for the Lord. I, like probably a lot of you, have fought a lot of battles, come through a lot of things in our lives. But there's one thing that we've got. We've got a God on our side that's able to bring us through it all. I feel good tonight in the Holy Ghost. Now we want to, in closing, say don't forget the conference in Houston, Texas, the 10th and 11th. I guess that's an humble. Be there. I know that Brother Wimble will be looking for you. And I tell you what, if we'll maintain the spirit of love, the spirit of unity, if organization begins to, or political move begin to take hold of me, I want to be the first one to step down. And I want you to be the first one to remind me of what I'm saying here tonight. Is that all right? And I feel like we've got to move in God. How many loves the Lord? Let's give the Lord an ovation tonight. Praise the Lord. You shake hands with your neighbor, tell them you're glad they're here. And any time that you want to, I want you to come back and be with us at the Calvary Pentecostal Church and feel welcome. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. God bless you.